Please turn back with me a page in the worship folder to the Psalm of the Day. We'll read together a portion of Psalm 72. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. He will defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. He will endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. He will be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. All kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him. All nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Praise be to the Lord God, who alone does marvelous deeds. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Fame. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to learn how to fly high. If you remember that song from the 70s, you probably also remember that that song was part of a movie that became a television series that made a lot of money for a lot of people and made a lot of young performers famous. But you might not be able to remember a single one of their names tonight. They found fame, but not that kind of fame. You look at the world around us right now and you come to realize there's an all-out pursuit of fame amongst so many elements of our culture. So many people doing so many different things for so many different reasons, and yet at the core it's all about everybody knowing their name. You may recall that the 20th century cultural commentator and pop art master Andy Warhol predicted at the onset of the media age that everyone would eventually have their 15 minutes of fame, 5 minutes of fame. But in reality, as we watch the personal media that's available to just about every citizen of the earth at this point, we come to realize that's not really the goal, is it? The goal is becoming truly famous. Generation-defying fame. Time-transcending fame. And yet, when those who are all about marketing go about seeking out in the world, throughout the world, just about everywhere, who the most famous and prominent people are at any given moment in time, you will find the Michael Jordans and the LeBron Jameses and the Taylor Swifts and the captains of industry and commerce and government and media have all had their moments. They come and they go, and yet consistently, throughout it all, a name appears. Always in the top 10, always in the top 5, and despite how amazingly, pervasively famous someone might become in a given year throughout the world, he very rarely comes in second. One human being that's walked this earth truly and profoundly is the most famous, most known human being throughout time, throughout territory, in every way that it can be measured. So is it really any surprise that the Magi, the great ones from the East, were so willing to pursue finding him so that they might come to know him and his situation better, the King of the Jews that they were seeking, but also to worship him? They make it clear in the language that they use and in the things that they do that they understood this tiny little boy to be far more than any ordinary human being, far more than anyone could explain. After all, the reason they were there was that a star had appeared to guide them to that place. That's how they knew he was born. That's how they knew where to travel to find him. Led them to Jerusalem, and they asked the court of Herod where the King of the Jews was to be born, terrifying the court, causing a ripple of confusion amongst the people of Jerusalem, only to discover Bethlehem was the place. They walk out of Herod's palace. They see the star again. It leads them straight to Jesus. You think you're famous? Did a star appear the moment you were born? A new star that was there for a special purpose? Truly denoting your arrival on the scene, because not long after, all that was intended for that star to accomplish, it faded, never to be seen again. There's a reason the Magi of the East pursued a better knowledge of Jesus. Because that star helped them understand that every promise, every prophecy of thousands of years could easily fit the life, the personality, the geography of this one child, and that he will fulfill every syllable, or as he would say it himself during his lifetime, every dot of the I and every cross of the T. For thousands of years, the promises had been made, the words had been written, the details had been added, and now the moment had arrived. And when that moment arrived, everything changed. You start thinking about the miracles you've already been made aware of in the course of your journey through Advent and Christmas to this point, at the end of the Christmas season. Angels appearing multiple times, sometimes individually, sometimes the glorious throng of heaven itself, to proclaim, to inform, to startle, to examine. Zechariah didn't get to speak for a long time as a result of his examination. But most often, to proclaim amazingly good news. The whole earth would be filled with his glory, that all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. For this child in a manger is God, fully God in every way, fully human, clearly proven in his hungering and his thirsting, the weariness of his life, the depth of his passion for people, but the depth of his passion for his mission that drove him through just excruciating, mind-bending pain. Pain both of body, soul, and mind. Pain that was the marker that he was accomplishing what he had come to do. Pain and suffering that when it is placed in front of us in balance against the glory of his resurrection adds to his fame, his status, his reputation, the reason why the world has loved him so for so long, and the very reason why so many have rejected him and belittled him and marginalized him, only to accomplish nothing in essence. Because every word of this prophecy from this psalm writer has played itself out as true. Think about the forces of darkness, the forces of resistance that have existed throughout time. In every area of the world, in every culture, and even within Christianity itself. And yet, tonight, throughout this day, as this world has turned, Christians everywhere in the world, even in places where communism reigns, where Islam, with its iron-fisted defiance of God's truth, punishes with death any mention of a Savior in a Christ born in Bethlehem. Still, this day, millions have confessed their faith, have sung their praises, have acknowledged the fame of this Jesus of Nazareth, and have added to the glory that this whole earth needs to be filled with on this day. The famous, they will come and they will go for all of the reasons they've become famous, and all of the many ways that as the world turns from one day into another, their fame is obsolete and insignificant, only to be remembered in history for what they were and how they influenced and changed, but always in the past tense. There is but one who has lived and died and risen again, who now reigns on the throne of heaven, not only as our God, our victor, but as our brother, wearing our human flesh. We need to know him as our champion, as he's presented in verses such as this. We need to know him as our champion for what he has won for us and all that he has promised us. For when it's talked about here that he will endure as long as the sun, we're reminded of his control over the weather, his ability to supply and provide and protect. But you and I know that while all of that is vitally important to our day-to-day realities, especially on days like this, where so much of humanity is in turmoil over so many different things, that what we need most, what we so desperately need most, is a Savior, a King, who is royal and righteous, who has the ability to truly defend the afflicted and save the children of the needy, who can state without any doubt about himself, through the ancient writers that he inspired, that there will come a day when every force of might and every force of evil and every force that can be measured of any kind, anywhere, for any reason, will kneel, will bow, will subjugate to this one who is God and man, to this one born in ancient Bethlehem, worshipped, adored, literally, and offered of their best by wise men, great ones, who didn't fear ridicule, who didn't fear expense, who feared nothing and did everything they could to journey to the one they knew was the eternal Son of God, the one who would endure as long as the sun. And so our Epiphany moment, where we gather year after year, is so necessary, so vital. Even in the word itself, Revelation, enlighten. You and I see here a child, but we know who he is. We know all that he is, all that he has come to be, all that he will do, and what that all means for us. That we will know him day by day throughout our lives, that we will trust him, that we will seek forgiveness from him, that we will offer him our prayers. Prayers that whisper or scream our hopes, but even more, our desperation over our sins and our brokenness and our despondency, confident and comfortable that he is all that his word has said that he is. That he is the King of the ages, King of the universe, King of humanity, the King of our lives. So step back on Epiphany. Ask yourself that question. What does that mean for me? What does that mean for me every single day? When I wake up, when I eat my lunch, when I watch Jeopardy before supper, when I lay my head on that pillow, when I encounter others who don't agree with me to the point of treating me badly, when I encounter others who will take advantage of me on the job, in the street, at the kitchen table, when I encounter the consequences of my own sins and the impact it's had on the relationships that I cherish. It's in this epiphany that you and I come to know and embrace, to worship and adore, to offer our gifts and our voices, and to witness to our world that he is the one that changes everything, that makes us whole, that brings us contentment, that alone can promise us eternal life. So that in confessing in this moment in time that he will endure as long as the sun, you and I know that we will worship him, that we will live with him, that he will supply and provide and bless even long after he's extinguished that sun and given us a new one that lights a new heaven and a new earth, where there is no death, where there is no pain, where there is no sin, where there are no movements or marches or riots, no shouting, but peace, joy, contentment, fulfillment, and an eternal God who has made us his dear eternal children through his one and only eternal Son, the one about whom it has been said, and the one who has walked this earth to prove it, who now reigns on heaven's very throne for you and for me. He will endure as long as the sun. Amen.